Welcome to the Fort Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 9th of June, and I am recording at 10:11 p.m., and that is British summer time here in London. Well, that global stock market correction continued in here today, and there are really two big factors to focus on. The most important one, I think, here overall, is the rise that's taking place in bond yields. And most specifically, I'll pick up on the U.S. 10-year here, which had a bit of a surge and closed or lost traded at 2.438%. And that's the highest level since early October of last year. Now, my view, the Fuller Tracy Money view, is that the secular bull market that we have seen, which of course pushed yields down to record lows, at least for modern history, is over. And that's approximately a 35-year bull market, and the question now is how far do yields rise, and perhaps more importantly for investors over the short to medium term, lengthy medium term, is how quickly do bond yields rise? One would hope that given the overall economic conditions that the rise would be relatively moderate, but given this long secular bear market and the growing realization that it is over, and the scramble for the exit by a number of participants suggests that yields could push higher than people would like to see. So that would be unnerving, needless to say. Now, also, that U.S. bond market really is the key for what will happen with a lot of corporate bonds. And so they are pushing a bit higher in here tonight as well. Owen has some charts on that, which I think you will want to see. Now, getting back to the stock market correction, which is influenced by this, the Asia-Pacific sector has been hit again in here today. They're all lower. Japan joined the sell-off, but just to put things in perspective here, the Nikkei 225 is, while it was down 1.76 today, and that's a downward dynamic, and the TSE 2 index also had a small downward dynamic just up near the 5,000 round of phobia level. And TSE 2 is really a leading indicator more often than not for what the rest of the Japanese stock market's going to do. And it is overextended, as I say, up near that 5,000 level. So it's susceptible to a decline. But to put this in perspective, Japan still has good gains on the year, and in U.S. dollar terms as well, up nearly 11% on the Nikkei 225, and on the Japan Topics Index, up 11.81%, despite today's downward dynamic. Now, moving on to China, and I was hoping that we would have the MSCI decision in terms of will the A shares be included? That was turned down in 2014. Now I see. Just see the headline just flashed up. MSCI expect to include China domestic shares in benchmark indices. That's good timing there, isn't it? And if that's true. That's just a flash headline. If that's true, will that be good news for the A shares, or has it all been discounted? The A share market's been pretty strong here overall, but I don't think it's bad news. China was a little bit weaker in here today, but it still shows some very big gains on the year to date. Shanghai Composite, which is only down a third of a percent today, but it's up 58, over 58% on the year to date. The Shenzhen Composite, okay, that's a very thin market. It's up over 111% on the year to date, and a little bit bubbly that. Now, elsewhere though, most of these Asia Pacific indices are now down on the year in US dollar terms. The exception is South Korea, which is also higher, along with those Japanese and Chinese indices. And the Australian market, that remains soft, although it's getting quite overextended to the downside. It's down 4.8% in US dollar terms. India has similar declines. It's been a tough year here, just correcting that big overextension to the upside. And there are concerns about the monsoon, which is well, it's been delayed at least a little bit. And I read the other day that it had been a very long time since we had two consecutive poor monsoon years in India, but it would be very important. Well, the result will certainly be very important. India is very dependent on that monsoon season, which provides about 70% of its overall water during the year, and is crucial for the farmers, quite obviously. So, India is still under a little bit of pressure, but it's very oversold, and it has seen more than a 10% correction. And therefore, I think that if you're looking for just a normalish correction period for these stock markets, something a bit over 10%, then I would say that India is back in nibble territory here, and I'm tempted to do that myself, and probably will quite shortly. Now, looking at the European stock market indices, I see only one gainer, and that was Spain, and it's up less than a fifth of a percentage point. Small losses elsewhere. The Euro Stoxx 50, down a third of a percentage point. Germany is down a little bit more, just over half a percentage point. But it's come back. It's almost touching the rising 200-day moving average. And it has also retraced approximately 50% of the very big and ultimately overextended move that it saw once Super Mario Draghi, president of the European Central Bank, announced in January, I think it was on the 21st of January, that he had seen off the opposition. He didn't say that, that's my interpretation, but Germany was opposed to the quantitative easing program, and announced that he was going to be able to go ahead with the QE program. And so all those European stock markets took off, not least Germany to the upside, and it's retraced about half of those gains since then and is really quite oversold here in the short term. There is a little bit of susceptibility to the Greek situation, which is obviously has not been successfully resolved at this stage. But again, I think that's in nibble territory for those who are interested in that market. Now, moving on to the Americas markets, mixed, small, very small percentage moves here. Wall Street mixed, but virtually unchanged here overall. I mentioned yesterday the weaker indices had been the utilities. That often tracks what the bond yields are actually doing, and also the transports, which will worry some of the Dow theory advocates overall. Another sometimes leading indicator, the Russell 2000 index, is really quite steady. Actually, hit temporarily a new high again last week. So a mixed picture there overall, and really the Dow has gone nowhere on the year. It's actually down a third of a percentage point, and the S&P is up 1%. So that's pretty modest, and the Nasdaq, better performer, is up 5.87% on the year to date. But the interesting factor here, I think, technically, and both Owen and I will have a little bit of evidence of this on the site tonight, is the U.S. banking sector. Now, I know a lot of people have been forecasting a Wall Street crash, and I mean, really, I think said last night, over the last 7 or 8 years, they've been forecasting another crash. I think some of us derived a degree of nervous comfort on that basis, whereas if they were forecasting a boom, that would be a little bit more worrying. Bank shares are in form, showing relative strength, extending their overall upward trends. Well, at least some of them are, and they include the S&P 500 Banks Index, and they also include the KRX Regional Banks Index. So you're not going to have a crash, in my opinion, with bank shares in form. Can you have a correction? Yes, but again, those strong bank shares suggest that it would be a relatively modest correction compared to what we might see elsewhere. So as long as those bank shares are performing, I would be not too alarmed here overall. Although you remember, I've been saying pretty much all year that we should expect some choppy action here, especially when we got into the more negative seasonal factors. Everybody's heard of sell in May and go away, and June is also the weakest month on average over the last 10 years or more. Okay, what else is of interest here? US dollar, which was down sharply yesterday on the dollar index. That's seen some downside follow through again here today. The dollar index is at 95.146. I maintain that it's in this lengthy reaction and consolidation phase. I expect the dollar to move higher over the longer term, but not in the short term. And I've also maintained that the Fed almost certainly intervened a couple of months ago to keep the to turn the dollar back when that dollar index had broken above the 100 psychological 100 level. So other currencies of note here, not a great deal going on as far as the Asian currencies are concerned, although Indonesian rupee's been quite soft overall, but the India and China not doing much against the dollar right now. In Europe, the euro is pretty much unchanged on yesterday, 1.1279. Sterling, I think, is a little bit firmer, 1.5383. And what about the Australian dollar? A little softer here, 0.76887 against the greenback. Now, in commodities, strong oil prices here again today, and that's taken the US WTI up another $2.30. No, let me get the right one here. Sorry. Yes, another $2.38, taking it up to $60.52. And the Brent is at 65.07, so that's within $5 of its high that it had seen over just over a month ago. and that's up 2.38 cents here as well. The CCI Continuous Commodity Index also saw a small rise yesterday and risen a little bit further here today, helped by this softer U.S. dollar. Industrial metals getting a wee bit of a bounce here from oversold levels in the short term. And that seems to be the main action here overall. Precious metals mixed but slightly firmer on average. That includes gold up a couple of bucks, platinum up nearly $6, silver down 5 cents. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.